Praise the Lord. Let's give it a clap offering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can't hear your clap. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We clap unto the Lord. We give him a clap of shout of praise. We thank him for his mercies and his presence. And so we just continue to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bishop and the Shepherd of our souls, to Zion City Fellowship, the Campus Outreach Arm of Scripture, Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord for our beloved parents in the house. They send their love and their prayers as usual. And we continue to pray for them that they also eat the fruit of their labor of intercession in our lives in Jesus' name. You know, wherever you are around the globe, as people are asking, where do you hear this word? This word that is transforming. What has made you like this? You'll be able to say that it is the Lord Jesus, but also the covering of the fathers that we are privileged to be under. And truly, those are the kind of things that people want to hear. You know, that their labor is not in vain. In prayer, in delivery of the word. You know, even if it's not directly, by his grace through us to you. And you also as faithful men will take it all around the globe, wherever the Lord plants you, you know, as you grow. You know, later in life, and God will have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. And they will see the children of their souls. They will be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've come to Zion's Fellowship. Let's just turn to your neighbor and say you're welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to welcome three people in the name of the Lord. Just welcome them with a holy smile. The Bible talks about a holy kiss, but I won't allow that. That was in the culture of those days. But this one with a holy smile, I want you smiling to your neighbor and saying, how are you? Ask them their name. You don't want to go around and not know the name of your brethren. Turn to three people. Now, turn to three people and give them a warm handshake. COVID, there's no COVID, all right? So give them a warm handshake in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are blessed. Welcome to Zion City Fellowship. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Nice to have you around. God bless you. You know, and a warm smile. Yes, that's it. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming around. It's good to have you again this beloved evening. And we also welcome those that are joining us online and those that will be listening later. God bless you. We trust that by his mercy and grace, the same work that God will do in our hearts on site, he will do even also in your life online in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it's another beautiful evening that we're going to share the word. I'd like to welcome our beloved pastor and the elder in the house, Professor James Olokwade, as he leads us through the word this evening in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayers. Our Father, we come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. We come with reverence and respect before your throne. We come as your people under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, under you, the Almighty God. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the privilege that I have at this time to minister your word. Under covering, I pray you grant me the grace to minister the word of God with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. I pray that a clear channel will be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, so that the word of God will have a free course. And the word of God will be glorified. By the reason of the Spirit and the word, you will break yokes. You will heal bodies. You will meet needs. You will bring glory to the name of Jesus. Blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the device of the enemy against the effectual fervent delivering and receiving of the word. And so under the covering of our fathers, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind-wandering, fear, unbelief, spirit of infirmity, weariness, and weaknesses, all such contrary foul spirits. We cast you out. Destroy your works of this time. Bind you, your old Satan, over our heart, body, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God and seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concern our prayers, concern the word, concern our heart, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. Father, we say it's well with us. We fulfill our destinies in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers, and we do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Amen. Guarding the love of God. I want to talk about guarding. Guarding the love of God. You know, when you have something precious, you guard it. Isn't it? So a man has a sports car, a Lamborghini sports car. So he puts it in a garage. Then the garage has infrared sensors. If you pass it, an alarm will blow. And yet, they still padlock it. And then there are two guards outside. Okay? Yeah, because he has a car probably worth about $300,000. So, when something is precious, you guard it. Praise the Lord. And we are talking about guarding the love of God. Amen. And Bible is clear about guarding something. Bible tells us that we should keep our heart with all diligence. It's not in my notes. Can you just flash that scripture on the board? Proverbs chapter 4. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Thank you very much. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard it. That keep is talking of active. Guard your heart. Watch your heart. Protect your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. Guarding the love of God. That the love of God, the revelation of the love of God, the practice of the love of God, the doing of the love of God is so precious. It's so precious that we shouldn't let it slip. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, from the very first verse, is talking about the end time, where we are now. Where we are now. This know also. We have to read this. So, there's nothing you read today, you read this one. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's disturbing times. Times that kill. You know, you do it to your peril. To your peril means to your non-existence, to your death. Perilous times shall come. Okay, let's be scrolling down. For men and women shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Guarding the love of God. Praise the Lord. Guarding the love of God. It's telling us that there's a force in the end time. It's taking you away from the love of God. It's replaced by love of self. Is replaced by love of pleasure. Is replaced by covetousness. Self-minded. Heady. Human race has gone to a place now where the primary thing they worship is themselves. There is no God. They don't believe there is God. We thought it was that simple. So, He guards his family, but they don't believe there is God. Now they don't believe in family. That's love of self. He first removed God from the equation. They remove family from the equation. So now, once the father is 65, 70 is weak, they take him to old people's home. He can't go and start visiting his father every week or every month. Ah, I mean, did I he's my life. So, takes the father to old people's home. We thought maybe the parents were the distraction. So they want, husband and wife want to live their life and they don't want parents as distraction. Now they don't even want to marry. Because the partner and that commitment and that faithfulness is a distraction. Okay, give us God's word. God's word translation for 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. They don't want to marry. Oh, I think I jumped the gun. They married and they don't want to have children. So first, they don't care about their parents. So it's just about them. So they marry, but they don't want children. Because that responsibility, raising is a distraction. So he's not ready to share the love that he has for his wife with anybody. So we thought God was removed from the equation. The parents were removed from the equation. So it's just about them. Now they don't want, children were removed from the equation. Now, even the wife and the husband is removed from the equation. They don't even want to marry. Because what used to be marriage was a vow and a legal document. Now, no vows. I didn't say anything. So you cannot hold me on anything. Then I didn't sign anything. So, if you are interested in me, okay, let's start living together. And the day you are not, you just make me angry, get out. There's no legal document. There is nothing. There's no promise, nothing. That's perilous times. Men love themselves, love pleasure, covetous, self-centered, fierce. Nobody can tell me anything. Despisers of that which is good. Some months ago, I think maybe it's gone down now. Months, probably a year ago, after COVID, in California, they were breaking into shops. Regular breaking. They will actually attack a shop in the night. They will break it. And then the government says, once you don't steal anything more than $900, it's not an offense. Once it's not more than 900. So there's nothing about catching you. There's no arrest. They say it's because of COVID. But I told my wife, I said, that's what they call slavery. See, the one they sell you is very open and bad. But this one, in which you won't walk, you don't have self-esteem, you don't have self-respect, but you're a thief, but you won't be caught. So you can break into Macy's, Marks and Spencer, any of those shops, steal something of 900. What do you now teach your children? I told my wife, that's how they catch a generation. A generation into error. That's not loving blacks, because most of those who are breaking, they are blacks. That's not love at all. You have caught another generation. The three generations before were on the plantation. The other generation was on welfare. This next generation, they are thieves. That's not love at all. If you love people, you give them jobs. Let them work with their own hands, earn their own money, buy what they want to buy. It's the spirit of the age. It will disguise in different forms. But like Pastor said on Wednesday, he wants to rob us of the love of God. He wants to rob us of the love of God. unthankful. My children, 21, the other one going to, 22, the other one going to 20. Give you anything, you say thank you. You must say thank you. Don't develop that spirit. Sense of entitlement. Hey, well, I'm your child. You have to feed me. You get something, you say thank you. You appreciate. It's an end time spirit. They are unthankful. It belongs to them. They must be provided for. They must. No. It's a wrong spirit. It's a worship of self. Unthankful. Unholy. When we were young, when they were bringing us up, when you finish eating, you go and thank your mother. Yes. Go and thank your mother. But now it's a sense of entitlement. Is she not my mother? You see, that spirit is here. The essence of this message is you remove yourself from the influence of that spirit. That's why we are preaching. The spirit is here. But you remove yourself. You catch yourself in that attitude, remove yourself. Bind that devil. Set your will to do what is right. Praise the Lord. End time. Blasphemers. God doesn't exist. Proud. Proud. I've said here before, I met one very top world brain scientist. Brain research is my area. So what? We are in a round table in the U.S. And he didn't like me because he knew I was somebody who has a belief for God. And he didn't hide it. He didn't really like me. Well, I was the only black person there anyway. So he was talking and telling us that dreams are inherent signals from the brain. That means is the brain that generates dreams by itself, was describing. I said, excuse me, sir, question. What of instances when we dream and then later it comes to pass? You dreamt about something and you see it happen. He looked at me and said, my own dreams don't come to pass. I said, well, you may have that experience. But I'm saying that in life, many people are here, they can testify. You dream and you turned it rough. It's an elder, so I just kept quiet. We can't deceive ourselves. Proud! Because we had little science, and then because of that, I said there's no God. God is too much, too big for the little thing that you know. Maybe because they are doing AI now, they say there is no God. God is too big. Too big. Let me give you a snapshot about God. A snapshot. When this world ends, God is going to judge every man. Not the men living on the earth. Every man that has ever lived. From Adam, every person to the end of the world. God will judge every person. And for every person, all your thoughts that you have ever thought about, everything you have ever done for the 75, 80 years that you lived, every thought, every deed, God will play everything out. And you will receive your reward or your judgment as the case may be. For everybody that has lived here, and then you now do one small AI and say there's no God. God which database kept all that? It says, every man, they will open the books. Everything is recorded. I mean, relax. Just have some respect. Every day now, there are those people that are even looking to the galaxy. Those ones should just keep quiet. They can't explain what they are seeing. They can't even teach you what they are seeing. You know, they taught us in school that there were Neptune, Jupiter. They are seeing far more. The planets that they can't count. They can't count it. So they don't even, they won't bother teaching us. They just teach you the little one that you know. Like Pastor always say, you can't be taught all the truth. Your brain can't catch it. They'll teach you the one you can understand. How can they teach you all the truth? Your brain cannot understand all the truth. So teach him the one that he can understand. An atom is the smallest indivisible part of it. That's not true. But that's the truth you can understand. So they'll just tell you that. So at least you have an idea. Even master students in physics know that that's not true. There are smaller. Every day they are discovering smaller patterns, smaller patterns. Why teach some a primary four all that? Just tell him the atom is the smallest. That's how. So God is so far. Some of the things we think we know, it's just a small snapshot so you can understand something. So have respect for God. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure, more than love. Those spirits are existing. Our job is to remove ourselves from them. We are not part of that. Praise the Lord. We are not part. I'm not unthankful. So when I see that spirit creeping on me, I fight it. I didn't appreciate that person. You judge yourself. That's wrong. Okay. Your dad called. He said they left money for you. So when you're going to school, uncle, call back. Daddy, they say you left so for me. I'm very grateful. Thank you. You left money for me. Just take the money. Going to buy. Then the whole day goes. You didn't even say thank. Judge yourself. That's a wrong spirit. It's a wrong spirit. Unthankful. Unholy. Matthew 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because, I didn't hear it. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's what is happening now. That's what is happening now. Iniquity is abounding. I think the previous course I went for in that same lab in the U.S., I met a guy, Argentine. He has his fiancée in Argentina. We came for a course in U.S. So when I see him in the lab, starting to make moves towards one or two girls in the lab, I said, but you have a fiancée now. He said it is unnatural for a man to stick to one woman. He used that word. He said it is unnatural. Obviously, even to the girl he has said he loves, the love is waxing cold. Because he came to America and saw their pretty faces. That's snapshot. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Or do we escalate it to the woman who feels the children are a disturbance of reason and killed the children? Love waxing cold because of abounding iniquity. Lawlessness is now the order of the day. Lack of respect is the order of the day. People hail you as a big guy because you spoke rude to your teacher. Mukifun teacher, eh? Then your friends will hail you. That's a good guy. But the one that greeted the teacher and apologized for what he did on the war. Oh, but kifun. Remove yourself from those spirits. They are not you. Praise the Lord. It will creep on everybody. You just remove yourself. They are all showing up. Iniquity is showing up, harassing us, so that we don't invest in the love of God. That's another way to interpret. Iniquity is abounding choking us so that we abandon the love of God. Who wants to be faithful again? You say, a faithful man, who can find? Nobody wants to be faithful. At the office, they don't want to be faithful. The guy that employed them, they want to steal all his profit and even steal the capital and the equipment. The girl that they propose to, they want to be unfaithful so that they can show that they are macho. Their relationship with God, everything is a choking of the love of God. There's abounding iniquity. And you have to take a stand. Amen. You take the stand for righteousness. Praise the Lord. You take the stand to develop the love of God. It doesn't drop on anybody. You have to make effort to develop the love of God. Bible says, contend for the faith. Book of Jude. Contend for the faith. Nobody has righteous Christianity as a cloth. You contend for it. I don't want to live that kind of life. I don't want to live that kind of life. You keep telling yourself that. Unless what the world is going through is what they call normal now. It's not normal, Lou. It's not normal. That's why you have to contend for the faith. On our UI Acada platform, lecturers platform, one of the old time professors, I think it was a video. But I didn't open the video, but I mean, you know, a video, once they send it, it's frozen with two pictures. Two guys in tuxedo, wedding. He said, when your brother tells you, I got married in the US, you better ask to who. He said, to who? Because they just showed, these were two people, two men, dressed, they are toxic, they just got married. We're walking out of the church. So he said, when your brother tells you, I just got married yesterday, he said, better ask to who. Because that is normal. So you better ask quickly. Because what is normal now is crazy. It's crazy. He's 13. Say, I don't feel like a boy anymore. I want to change to be a girl. And government must provide the insurance. The doctor must do the surgery. And your parents have no say in it. Was in Germany of recent, a man was sentenced to jail because he scolded the child, arguing with what they told him in school that lesbianism is right. And the father said it's wrong. So, and the father insisted with her, and they reported the father, and then the father was sent to jail. That's the world we are living in. Iniquity is abound, and the love of people is waxing cold. Their love for God, the practice of the love of God, is waxing cold. Your love for God must be on fire. Must be on fire. If it's not, the wind is blowing. It's coming to test your anchor. If your anchor is not rooted, it's going to blow you away. It's going to blow you away. Contend for the faith. Contend for the love of God. Amen. See to it that you are practicing the love of God. You are imbibing the love of God. You are confessing the love of God so that your love will not wax cold. It's a serious issue. Everybody is being tested every day. What are your values? What are your values? What are your values? Like we used to say in those days, and it's still valid now, said, if you don't have what you stand for, you will fall for anything. If you don't have what you stand for, you will fall for anything. I teach, and I'm always very proud of that. I teach 200 and 300 level mainly. And I've been doing that for about 25 years. And it's a privilege and a honor for me to always see a brand new set of 18, 19, 20 year old in class. Class, to me, my table where I put my computer in class is a pulpit. Is a what? Is a pulpit. That's my own. It's a privilege. Every year, another new set of 18, 19, 20. And it's obvious. I've been doing for 25 years. Those I taught 25 years ago and those entry class now, they are not the same. There is a difference in mentality. It's abounding iniquity. At the beginning, when they get to 500, I teach maybe 2 hours. 2 hours to the 500 level class. 2 or 4 hours for the semester. It's not a big course. It's 2 hours. So when I first started teaching at that 500 level class, when I'm finishing my last 20, 30 minutes, after teaching, I mean, what I'm told, I end up with an exhortation for those students about the importance of faithfulness and sexual purity. And I will tell them to ask questions. It's always very interesting. In short, many times we exceed the time. But one year, this many years ago, I can't forget. As we are rounding out the class, and after everything was quiet, I said anything. One lady raised up her hand. She said, "Sir, this your gospel is too late. You should have taught us in 200, 300 level. It's too late. We are far gone." I cannot forget. So I made sure I started from 200 level. It was God speaking to me. He said, "Sir, this your gospel is too late. It's too late. We are far gone. You should have taught us this in 200, 300. You'll have saved us." Yeah, the generation is changing. It's changing. How do we guard the love of God? I should be rounding up. How do we guard the love of God? How do we make the love of God strong in our lives? The love of many, that love is the love for God. For many people, it's waxing cold. It's waxing cold. How do we guard that love? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 31, 21. Proverbs 31, 21. She is not afraid. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Number one, two, to make sure your love doesn't wax cold, is constantly plead the blood of Jesus. Constantly do what? Proverbs 31 is talking about the virtuous woman, which by revelation is talking about a virtuous church leadership. Praise the Lord. Christ is the husband of the church. So the wife is like the leader, the church leader. That's the virtuous woman. And he's talking about that this particular leader is not afraid for snow. Is snow hot or cold? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This leader is not afraid of the snow, because all our household are called scarlet. Scarlet talks about the blood. Praise the Lord. You remember the two spies and Rahab put the scarlet. It's representing the blood. So every church leader teaches his people, "Father, we confess our sins." That's what pastor has taught us, to clean with the blood. Wrong thoughts come to you, plead the blood of Jesus. It's a pity that a majority of the church, the blood of Jesus, when you hear blood of Jesus, it's about expressway. It's about maybe exam paper. You want the question to change? Eh? Or it's about witches. When you think of witches in the night, I'm not saying all those, but the primary for the blood is to keep your thoughts clean. Praise the Lord. It's to keep your thoughts clean. Constantly put your thoughts, your mind under the blood. There's nobody a wrong thought doesn't come to, but it has to pass through the blood. Amen. It can't survive. The blood, Bible tells us in Isaiah, says, though your sin be like crimson, they shall be white like snow. Amen. That's what the blood does. So don't leave iniquity to be strong in your soul. You see that wrong thought, the thing that is taking root, the root is dipping into your soul. Quickly! Don't allow it to take root. Thoughts of suicide. Thoughts of killing somebody. That's the evil world we live. Those thoughts now come. When I was young, maybe those are the thoughts. Suicidal thoughts. I feel like killing all of them. It will look like a thought. The last one in New Mexico, a young boy, he just took gun. He went to the street and just started shooting. People started running. Just shooting. When you see people, we shoot the car. When you see people, we shoot. It's bad, but go and trace it. One thought just came. And he allowed it to take root. Then the thing controlled him. The blood. Clean your soul. It's like a filter. Clean it regularly with the blood of Jesus. I don't know how you want to exist in this world today. How are you existing if you don't mention the blood of Jesus? I can't. How do you exist? These are your weapons to guard the love of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 6. No, verse 9. Second instrument to keep the love of God is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Is the what? You can't develop the love of God without the word of God. Because the word of God is the person of God himself and his mind. Amen. And God is love. Praise the Lord. The word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word? You won't clean yourself, you will be in trouble. Eh? Thank God. This is a row of boys. Eh? Is it Poly or UI or where you are working? Have you seen them in micro mini skirts? You don't see them. Or the whole chest has come down. You see them. Or the dress, where the chest is, they will paint another color. Shiny, shiny. You see them. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Let the word of God be strong in you. Praise the Lord. The world is going bonkers. You're a clean guy. You're a honorable guy. You're a guy with integrity. The spirit and the woman are coming after you. You decide whether you want to be rubbish or you want to play the game. Move to the next verse. Verse 10. 11. Thy word
Thy word.
No, I even want the boys to say it. The boys. Thy word.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
If the word is not in your heart, what will happen? You will sin against God. You will sin against God. You need the word of God. It's your ammunition. Praise the Lord. The blood first, and then the word. It's a world of iniquity. You need the word of God. Amen. You need the blood of Jesus. You need the word of God. It's temptation everywhere. 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 Nothing is as it looks. And particularly for sexual purity. Particularly. A friend many years ago went and did interview in a top company. Top. Don't want to mention the company's name. Top. So they all did NYC there. So after the NYC, they said there was a lot of vacancy. So the coppers who worked there felt, we're already in the system. Top company. Let me give you like a gradation. Let's imagine now that maybe averagely, if you get a job as a graduate with the Federal Civil Service, you get a job with custom, with the army, maybe averagely now as a graduate, you get like 120,000 start, 150. Okay, now imagine a job that they start with 600. That was the kind of company that we're talking about in those days. Their level of staff was way beyond. So it's good to get that perspective. So they all applied. So the person who interview has been done, the person who writes the letter is the HR, human resource manager. So my friend, brilliant, very brilliant. She had done the interview. So they said the letters were coming out in batches. Some of our friends got, so she was waiting. So what? Someone else came and called me. In came, sister, in came. In came, you know, you don't want your job. Only I'm waiting. They say it's in batches. Okay, oh, sister, in came. When you're ready for the job, you're going to sleep with the HR manager. Go for people. Okay, I'm just telling you. He said, no, look at this, my friend. He said, your friend. Okay. She's your friend, Abby. She has done what she needed to do. She has her letter. She went to it. Then she found out at the end that was what was happening. She said, she looked at her and said, I can't. He said, no, I can't. I lost the job. That society we live. This many years ago is worse now. It's worse. Probably now you even get to the interview. Don't give up, oh. When it's your job, you enter into the spirit realm with God, bind the devil and decree. That if you're not ready to fight that kind of fight, you will live the morality life. Because the God you serve is real. And if you partner with him, he will show up. Praise the Lord. He will show up. Everywhere now is a mess. I'm telling you, it's a mess everywhere. If it's not sexual immorality, it's cultism. You must swear something, then they will give you your letter. It's a mess. But like I said, how much do you value the love of God? That's why we are giving all these tips. So we don't have to live in the mud. Don't have to live in the mud. What belongs to you will come. Praise the Lord. what belongs to you will come. I'm in university. What people do because they are looking for promotion. What people do because they are looking for a post. That's UI. UI that looks like a glory place from outside. There's rottenness everywhere. You just tell yourself the kind of life you want to live. But that life is a product of the blood of Jesus constantly and the word of God in your heart. Praise the Lord. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise the Lord. If you don't do this, you will join them. God forbid. But if you don't do this, you will join them. It's the easy way out. Is the easy way out. Third tool, praying in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. You will be baptized with the Spirit and fire. Amen. Your love will not wax cold. All this, rababa, man, I'm not there for that one. You are joking with your love. You're joking with your love. Your love will wax cold if you are not careful. The blood of Jesus, the word of God, and praying in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's how to keep yourself in the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Let me put you on the board. Let me drop two tips for young people. Two. Number one, be content. Be what? Be what? Take this away. Give me godliness and contentment. Godliness and contentment. I think that's Timothy. Give me godliness and contentment. We'll come back to the love and then we'll round up. Be content. Ojukokoro. We drive you into problems. Yeah. But godliness with contentment is gain. Great gain. Great gain. You know what the church is? Not the world. The church is filled with godly people, but they are not content. So there is little gain in their lives. They are always unsatisfied. Their Christianity is not strong. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Calm down. So maybe I should combine them together. The next thing, 2 points I want to draw for your people, contentment and patience. Amen. And what? Suru. If you are content, everything will still come. It will just take some time. Amen. But your honor will not be thrown away on the line. Amen. 18 karat gold. It's nice. Although if I see 18 karat gold, I don't know it. But, I mean, fine. There's nothing wrong in 18 karat gold. But, you are 18, 19-year-old lady. That's what you just want. You just want that. 18 karat gold. At 19, it will come. The one you have now, just be okay with it. With time, keep the spirituality, keep the hard work, keep the diligence. It will come. But if it's that, this year, kogbodo koja mi, you will compromise. And you'll put your honor on the line. You put your honor on the line. Contentment and patience. Because young people need that. Be content. They'll tell us, Anfagwala go shishe. Just calm down. What in this world is not comparison? What? You will keep comparing. Today is shirt. Tomorrow is car. The next time is shoe. The one is style of hair. The other one is phone. You will keep comparing. And you will never be at peace. You never be at peace. Godliness with contentment. Thank God for what you have. And keep your godliness. and increase in your godliness. And Bible is right. It's great gain. Two things. Your heaven is assured. Your glory in earth is secured. And that prosperity will yet come. That's why he says it's great gain. It's not joking English. It's the fact. It is great gain. Be godly and be content. Be content. It's lack of contentment. People are not faithful anymore. They're not content. Let's be content. In the world today, everybody is not content. Nothing is enough. The one car is not enough. The type of car is not enough. The husband is not enough. The wife is not enough. Nothing is enough. Godliness with contentment. See, you know why you are not content? You are really not godly. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise the Lord. So we'll go back to our 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 13, and I close. So we've talked about the blood, the word, and the praying in the spirit. Let's go back to first. So every day, we're talking of guarding the love of God. Fighting for the love of God. Open your Bible. And everywhere you see charity. Charity actually means love. In short, don't even say love or say charity. Mention your name. I suffer long. I am kind. I don't envy. I don't boast. I'm not puffed up. I don't behave myself unseemly. I don't seek my own. I'm not easily provoked. I don't think evil. I don't rejoice in iniquity. I rejoice in the truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. I never fail. So, before you start, Father, I confess my sins. I clean with the blood. You confess this word. You pray in the spirit. Make that, if you only have little time for prayer in a day, fulfill that one. Praise the Lord. If you rush out of the house and go in the bus, do it. Make sure it's something you do daily. Then by God, later you add more things to it and go, but do this one. Blood of Jesus to clean. Put that word, pray in the spirit. If you are alone in your room, pray strong. If you are in the, pray under your breath, but yet with intensity. Guard the love of God. Amen. Nothing drops off anybody. Like I told you at the beginning, the spirit that is in this world now wants to drive the love of God away. So you have to fight for the love of God. You have to contend for the love of God. So let's give ourselves this assignment. It's a simple assignment. Amen. Let's do it every day. Let's do it every day. Confession. Pray in the spirit. Blood of Jesus. And then, what you confess, you will become. What you confess, you will do what? You will become. It won't be overnight, but continue. 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 So that the love of God can be strong. Praise the Lord. Pierre, you have something to add?
Praise the Lord. Let's go to a clap offering. While we use the next few minutes, I'll just give us a few minutes to ask questions and also contribute. And while we're doing that, you must ask question and contribute. While we're doing that, I had some thoughts that I believe God dropped in my heart and mind for us. And the question you might be asking is, why is it exactly the love of God that the enemy seems to attack, or why is the love of God so important? And you have to recognize that your enemy is very strategic, and he knows what is important and what is not important. It's not the riches that the enemy is attacking. It's not, why is it the love of God? Why, what's so important about love? And of course, the scriptures give us the answer to that. And it is in Galatians 5:6. It tells us that faith works by what? Faith works by love. The You recognize that a Christian lives by faith. A Christian walks by faith. But it's not so much your faith that the enemy attacks. The enemy recognizes that what keeps your love, what keeps your faith working is the love. It's like the battery. The battery of a phone. You have a phone, but you also have a battery. If there is no battery, is the phone going to work? Doesn't matter how beautiful the phone is or how high the specs are. It can be the latest Google 7 Pixel. It can be the latest iPhone. It doesn't matter how the structure is. But if it doesn't have any power, then it's useless. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why even in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, if you have faith that can move mountains, but you don't have love, then it is nothing. So you recognize the importance of this thing we're talking about. People might not be preaching love. People might be preaching faith, like preaching thunder and lightning, prosperity, and all kinds of things. But the thing that matters, and which the enemy knows, is love. So where it is preached less, he's very happy. And also, where it is even preached and the people are not practicing it, he's very happy. He'll try to attack it and test it. And that's why you have to say, and make up your mind and set your face like a friend that, look, this love thing is going to be the number one thing. It's going to be the number one burner in my life. Of course, you're going to pray about other things. You need other things. But you know, in fact, in 1 John, telling us about how God answers prayers, says that if you keep this commandment of life and love, whatever you ask of God, he will answer you. Because you know what? God is love. And whenever you are making your requests, motivated by love, of a necessity, you're going to be asking what God likes and what God wants to give you at that time. Are we together? Now, so that's why we're saying the importance of this thing about love. You need to water it every day. It's like seed. It's a plant. It's a seed that we have sowed in our hearts, the seed of the love of God. And you have to water it every day by speaking it and saying it every time. I love God with all of my heart. I am patient. I'm kind. You keep saying it, irrespective of whether you feel it or you don't feel it. You know the importance of what you are doing. And so you keep watching, you keep charging your faith. You know, and that's how you pray in the spirit. You keep charging your faith by speaking the word. And you know, when Prof was talking about 1 Timothy, I was talking about them putting it on the board. You know, the Passion Translation is something that struck me. It says, but you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of the society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves, obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. You see it all over, be it cyber, on social media, even physically. They will ignore their own families. And you see, when he talked about children, of course, especially in the Western world, and even here, if you are not careful, you will feel that it's not necessary to call your parents. You will feel it's not necessary to check on your parents. Maybe I'm not in the university. I'm now on my own. That independence, there's a place where, yes, you are growing and you're maturing, but you still need to recognize and be caring, because these are people that took care of you. You understand? And even if you feel that they didn't show you as much love, you have to go all the way out to show your love to your parents. Are we together? And so when Prof was giving an example, especially what is spreading so wild in the Western world, but we are trusting that it's not coming, but you need to be careful. Because whatever we watch, we can subtly imbibe. Says they will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires. They'll be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. Why are we saying all these things? Because we are right in the middle of these times and these things. And whether you are aware of it or you are doing as if you are not aware of it, you need to clothe yourself. I like what Prof talked about, the virtuous woman. You know, even though it's cold, and the world around you might be cold, and they might be painting that cold picture, or be blowing that cold air, the woman has scarlet. Scarlet is red. You know, her family is clothed in scarlet. She's always pleading the blood of Jesus, always using the blood of Jesus. You're always speaking the word of God. The word of God is like fire, the Bible says, in my bones. It's going to keep heating you up. Jesus, and I'm burning inside you. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. Is that there is no flood that can quench love. Do you understand? And so let love be the first burner, number one burner in your life every day. irrespective of whether it is popular or it's not popular, irrespective of whether you feel something or you don't feel something. We are not living by our feelings. We are living by faith, which works by love. And as simple as this teaching is, let me tell you, it is the number one and priority and most powerful thing that will drive you and keep you secure, especially in these times. Are we together in these perilous times? And of course, God is love. And God is light. Love is light. Love is wisdom. Love is innovation. Love is creativity. You know, whatever you create and build will be out of love. It will not be destructive. It will be what will create and bless people. So those other things that we are seeking in health, in finance, they will certainly come. Because love, God is not weak. God, love is not poor. God, love is not dull. Because love never fails. Do you understand? So what we really need is being secure in that love. And having the assurance that because God is love, all the other things that God has and love has, you'll also have. Are we together? And you see, let's finish with this. I don't know that you have any questions. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is content. And like Prof said, Suru Lere, you know, I don't know the other place they use in Lagos. If you don't, Olorishogo, Jehovah Sharp Sharp. You have to be very careful. Those things come, they look nice. And they look like, look, I need to get this now. You know, now, or never. You know, but you need to be patient because you need to develop that character so that you can have the capacity, you know, to take whatever God wants to give you. You know, I don't know whether we have any questions or contributions. I'll just give us one or two people, you know, and then we can round off. Questions or contributions in regards of what you have heard this evening. Yes, thank you, Fe.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so I want to ask, love, is it, can we say that love is sacrifice, or love is a sign of sacrifice, or sacrifice is a sign of love?
Thank you. Love is definitely sacrificial, especially if you go to that 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. You know, it suffers long. Give it to us in Amplified. Give it to us in Amplified. You will see that everything, the action part of this love that we are talking about is indeed sacrificial.
Sorry about that. So why I asked the question was in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Is it one or two that says that if I give my body, I felt like that was a sacrifice, but yet he said it's not love. So that was the part I want to.
Yeah. So what he's saying that is what he's saying there. This one is talking about martyrdom. Do you know that there are people that can give themselves out of pride and out of wanting to be remembered? Self-recognition, yes, that's what I want to use. There are people that do things because they want their name to be written down maybe in the history book, in the Guinness Book of Record. You understand? There are people that do things, don't misunderstand me about Hilda. It's good to cook, you understand? But there are people that do certain things. You see, the word love is a spiritual force that's what I was talking about, motivation. That analyzes and shows us your motive. There are people that do those actions. Martyrdom is an action, is a physical action. Love is a spiritual force of a necessity that will manifest physically. Do you understand what I'm saying? But martyrdom itself is just a physical action. There are people in other religions that have done martyrdom. Do you understand? It's just like saying, I'm fasting and praying. There are some people in other religions that fast and pray. There are some people, other people in other religions that do self-denial. And you see all this meditation and he doesn't eat. But does it necessarily mean that it is God? Does it necessarily mean that it is love? Certainly not. Because it's not motivated by God. It's not motivated by love. So we have to really be careful. It's not just what you see on the outer and the actions. That's why he says your faith. Even faith is moving mountains. You're having miracles, signs and wonders. But is it motivated by love? And is love behind it? So when you recognize that love that we're talking about is a spiritual force, you understand? And it is made manifest in the fruit of the spirit of joy, peace, patience, kindness. Do you understand? Long suffering. But minus all those things, and you still have faith. I mean, you still have actions of miracles. You still have martyrdom. But it is not motivated by love, by patience, by humility, by meekness. Instead, you have self-recognition. Then, of course, you know that that is not love. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the love of God will, of a necessity, have self-sacrifice. Do you understand? Because when I am humble, instead of being proud, is a sacrifice. When I know my rights, but I am not insisting on my rights, it is a sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I know that I'm supposed to have this, but I chill, I'm patient, it is a sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are certain things, if I feel like, oh, I need a laptop. There's nothing wrong with having a laptop. But if you don't have the money and you have to wait, it's a sacrifice. Do you understand? It's a self-sacrifice. It's a self-denial. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you look at the nouns of love, it will help you to know that truly, true God, divine love is always a sacrifice at that particular time, even though you will get it later. So patience is a sacrifice on your flesh. Joy, peace, long suffering is a sacrifice on yourself. When I'm driving and I know I have a right of way, and the micra and the downfall and the bike man want to take, and I have to just hold on, that is a sacrifice, even though it is my right of way. But in other things, we can take it to different examples in our lives. But a physical sacrifice of martyrdom might not necessarily be out of love. It might be out of self-recognition. One more. One more. Or should I pick somebody? I know you have thoughts. You guys have perfected the love of God. You don't have any challenges. Amazing. How great. Jesus is coming soon. You know, but I just need one more so we can round up. Questions, contribution. I want it from this side. No, I'm not taking you again. I need another person. Eyes are going towards... I'm looking for the person I'll look at. I'll be looking down. And I'll sin. Yes, yeah, so I know that there is one more. I just know in my heart that there is one more. You know, before we pray. It's not a big deal. We can pray now. But I know that there is somebody. My is not there is somebody here and you need this. But I know that there is somebody here. You have a word. You have a contribution. You have a question. You know, and I want you to open up. Before a round off. Yes. Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. You made mention about the enemy. They're always attacking the love of Christ in us, which is very true. Yeah, I just want to ask a question. In time where you have a friend, I'm just saying, let's just say he or she attends a this white garment church. I'm not trying to specify. And they do all this kind of ritual where you say you're serving God and you have to go to rivers, you know, to wash head, yeah, to bring coconuts and the likes. And you keep telling this person that being a Christian, don't you read the Bible? Don't you read the scripture? Don't you, you know, meditate in the Holy Spirit and all? Everything you're doing is unclean. I don't understand. How do you, how would I put it, advise? How do you, you know, correct the person? Because I feel they've been brainwashed. That's my thought. Because I feel what you're doing is, it's outright nonsense. You say you're going to church and you do taking sacrifice and all. So, thank you.
Okay, good question. I know that you have a burden in your heart, probably for your friend. And the best thing you're going to do is to pray. You know, the greatest, the Bible talks about secret love. You know, there is a place of open rebuke. That's, but even rebuking without loving, and that secret love, you yourself can get into error and you can overdo it or misdo it. Do you understand? And what you need to do first, what we need to do first to know whether you are truly rooted and grounded in love, you need to pray for the person. And I'll give you the prayer you need to pray for the person. It's very easy. I won't leave you in the dark. You need to pray Ephesians 1, 17 to 19 for the person. As you're praying for yourself, pray for the person. You need to pray for the person to be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The person is in darkness. You understand? You need to pray for light for them. As you're praying for light for yourself, you know, you also need to pray for light for the person. You know, the Bible talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, the darkness cannot comprehend light. And many people around the body of Christ, you know, in different grades of light. Some are in total darkness. The Bible talks about the God of this world. He shrouds people in darkness. Some are in total ignorance. Some are not even in the body of Christ. You understand? But you need, the best thing you can do for your friend is to pray for light. You understand? And let God do the rest. Start with praying first. If God gives you the opportunity to speak to the person, you will have the right words. And you have to speak in love. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. You can't start beating the person down. That won't help. But you first and foremost, when you pray for wisdom and revelation for the person and light, because I see that truly you have a burden in your heart for your friend, but the first thing that shows love is to even pray for the person. And just pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray for light. Ask for life for the person. Once you do that, leave the rest for God. Do you understand? If God wants to speak through you, He will speak through you. Haven't prayed for the person, it will be easy for God to speak through you. If not, He'll raise somebody else. Circumstance, God is everywhere. God can speak through anybody to the person. But the number one thing I can assure you that will work and that will cause God to be able to reach the person, reach out to the person, either through you or sovereignly through another person, you know, is you praying for wisdom and revelation, praying for life. Praying for light. Do you understand? And remember when the Lord Jesus was speaking to Peter, He said, I have prayed for you. Satan has sought to sift you, but I have prayed for you. He didn't now say, Peter, you've been with me all these 3 years, and you don't even know anything. You understand? Now, there's a time when he said that, but let me tell you, he had a background of intercession and praying. And then he was able to say that, and that thing would have percolated to Peter the right way, the right place, the right time. Do you understand? Hit the right spots to cause him to be convicted and change the right way. You don't want people to hear what you're saying and become more rebellious. And say, I'm going to show you. Hey, you think you know it, Abby? I will show you. Now, you'd have made twice a child of hell. But when you have intercession as the background, even you'll be purified. You yourself, you'll get wisdom and revelation and light on how to speak to the person, whether to keep speaking to them, whether to just pause and not even talk to the person at all. That's why the Bible talks about a wife in a home. It says that the way she can even convince her husband or correct her husband is by not talking at all. So there is a place of muting where you actually need to shut up and pray. There is a place where you would have prayed and then God will give you the right words, the right way, the right time. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus talking to the Samaritan. He said, you have five husbands. She had five husbands. If you hear of a woman that has five husbands right now, what are you going to say? No, you're not. You guys, you have to be honest. You need to think. When I thought about it, when I saw a woman that had multiple husbands once, I said, then now occurred, and I remember that scripture. Hey, before I shouted, I just remember that scripture. This is what it means. When you bring it to contemporary times, you recognize what we're talking about. She had five husbands. If you see a woman with five husbands now, we can say she's a queen of side chicks. That's what somebody told me about she said that what she used to label King Charles' wife initially was queen of side chicks. But you can see what God has done in making the so-called woman a queen. When you now see the symbolism of what God did in His mercy and in His love and how God can transform people, you know that at the background there is intercession of love. Do you understand? And then when you come out, you'll be able to speak. Either you speak or you shut up. and God will do the rest. But you do the part of praying. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's love. Okay, so let's bow our heads as we pray. This thing, you see, what is going to save the world? The world is heading to... Is there entropy now? It's tending to destruction because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They can't save themselves. The young people around the globe, they're looking for something. They are hungry and thirsty. What they are hungry and thirsty for is the love of God. Who is going to deliver this love to them? Who is going to show them that God is love? Who is going to show them that love wants to save them? Love does not desire the death or destruction of the wicked. That's why God himself is patient. That means that he is long-suffering, not wanting any man to perish. The reason why you and I are here is because of his love and his patience. The young boy and the young girl in the community and the society that have been dominated by these fierce times and controlled by the lust, the love of this world, there is a hunger and a thirst and deliverance that they are crying out for. You are the one that has to show the love of God. And remember, the love of God is not just soppy and nice. We're not talking about that. The love of God is in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. You know when to talk. You know what to say. You know how to talk. You know how to show people the love of God. That is what your young people, your friends are looking for. That is what your loved ones are looking for. Someone that will come and show us how God is, what love is, who love is. And that's what we're saying. Ultimately, we want you to be, God wants you to become love. Sons of God, sons of love, daughters of God, daughters of love. And everything you need every point in time, the resources, wisdom, financial resources, power, he will give you because you are love. Your heart is full of love. You've guarded your heart. You've guarded love so much. You've contended for it. And he will be able to transport himself into your mind. Transport himself into your system, into your physical body, into your circumstances. What you need at a point in time to help a brother and a sister, it will come. And you yourself, you will not lack. Because if water pipes through a pipe, that pipe of a necessity will be wet. So you don't worry. You don't be selfish, self-centered, thinking about yourself alone. Think about love. Think about God. Think love. Speak love. And you see, of a necessity, your mind will be the mind of love. And whenever you need something, love will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Love does not worry. But it takes you to do these things that we have been taught about the blood, about speaking the word, about praying in the Holy Spirit, who is love himself. And is one that shed the love of God abroad in your heart. So I just want you to commit to God this evening. That God, love, I want to be a pipe through which you will come and show yourself. I want to be a vessel through which men will see love. Men will hear love. Men will be drawn to love. Men themselves will begin to love. Men will give their lives to love, to Christ Jesus, who is love. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to use the blood like the virtuous woman, to use the word to guard my heart, to enrich love, to water love, and to grow in love. Love will cast out fear, fear of want, fear of this, fear of future, fear of who I'm going to marry, fear of where I'm going to be, fear of tomorrow, fear of unknown. Love sees is the beginning and the end. Love does not worry. Commit to love this evening. Commit to confessing love. Commit to praying in the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit, who shed the love of God abroad in your heart, can diffuse it to different areas of your life and circumstances. And cast out fear. And demolish worry and anxiety. And he's the one that owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. These very things that seem to cause anxiety and worry, he owns these resources and he can cause them to come. He can call them forth. But commit to love this evening, from this evening, because the world needs the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's stand up on our feet as we pray together. I want you to put one hand on your heart and you lift one hand to heaven. And we say together, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Thank you for your word that we have heard this evening about guarding the love of God. We now know the importance of love. For you, O God, you are love. We cry out for fresh mercy, grace, and help to enable us to guard our hearts with all diligence, to guard this love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Cleanse our hearts by your blood. Fill our hearts with your life. Help us to speak the word of love according to 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. We commit to walking in love. We commit to speaking this love. And we commit by your grace and by your mercy to pray in the Spirit so that God, the Holy Spirit, that shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, will enable us to walk in love as we pray in the Spirit. Oh, let your kingdom of love come in every area of our lives. Let your will be done in every area, in every circumstance, as it is in heaven, so that truly we'll be messengers of love to our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father Pajaka. Thank you, Lord Joseph. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This love that you are doing in our hearts, in our wills, in our minds, in our emotions, in our physical body circumstances, in our health and Messiah, in our circumstances, regional heavens, the wisdom of love, the power of love, the strength of love, the resources of love, conform us to your love, put on the whole armor of love daily, reaching Kataria, cast out spirit of fear, Brakaya, worry, Brakaya, anxiety, Brakaya, materialism, Brakaya, Ridija Katuria. Help us to trust and love in you, Brakaya, in your word, Brakaya, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Brakaya. Take us from where we are to where we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take our seat.